I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Amen. Oh, come on, you can do it better than that. Amen. Shall we rise to our feet? Amen. As we welcome our Father, Apostle Joel. Amen. Oh, come on, put your hands together.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now that we've found Christ, what are we going to do with him? Amen. I don't know. I feel like you should say, what is he going to do through us?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here again on Sunday morning. Amen. And it's a blessing to be in church always. I just love being in church because it's a blessed place to be. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer before you sit down. Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for the blessedness of Sunday morning. We pray, Lord, and thank you. This is the best place to be on a Sunday morning, to be in your presence. We're grateful for the opportunity and for the privilege, Lord. We ask that today you open our eyes to behold wondrous things in your word. We pray for understanding of your word. We pray, O God, that you will teach us the truth and with it give us grace to walk in it. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God again for today. And I'm glad you all were able to make it to church. Amen. I believe God has a word for you. And that is why he impressed upon your heart to be in church this morning and removed all obstacles from your path and made it possible for you to be here. Amen. Now, this is a month of evangelism. Amen. Amen. July is a month of evangelism, and we have been talking about soul winning. You know, Caroline, I was thinking about you this morning, so it's good to see you, right? Amen. Okay, so we are in a month of evangelism, and all that it means is that it's a month where evangelism is emphasized. Amen. It's emphasized. It's given some extra attention so that we can remind ourselves of the purpose for which we have been saved and left here. Amen. Now, last week, I was sharing with you about why every Christian should be a soul winner. Amen. Why every Christian should be a soul winner, must win souls. Every Christian must be involved in the work of winning souls. Amen. Now, number one, I gave you a point that is why Jesus came. Jesus declared that it is his purpose for coming, isn't it? Chapter 19 and verse 5, we read the story of Zacchaeus and how Jesus said, "Today I must abide at your house." You know, I have to go to your house today. And it is not until he enters the house that we understand why. Because he said, today, salvation has come to your house. Amen. Every time a Christian approaches an unbeliever, salvation has come near that unbeliever. Amen. Salvation, or the kingdom of God, or a chance to meet God, or a chance to know God, an opportunity to interact with God, has come close. Amen. So you see that God is really counting on us. Amen? Because we are the carriers of his presence, of his salvation, and we are the way by which God has ordained that people should receive and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we cannot let him down. We must always bear in mind and always look for the opportunity to win souls. And that will be a blessing to us. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Number two is that we are called to be fishers of men. Isn't it? Yeah. We are called to be fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a rich man. Is that what he says? Are you sure? Are you very sure? Jesus didn't say that. Follow me and you'll get a new house. Are you sure? Follow me and you're going to get married fast. Are you sure? Are you very sure? Follow me and you're going to catch one of the best girls. Yeah. You know, some people feel that, you know, one of the good reasons to go to church is that's where all the nice girls are now. You know, yeah. You didn't show that testimony. There was a testimony of a brother who said he followed a girl to church. You have that testimony? Okay, maybe later or next week we're going to show that. But you see how one brother who's now a shepherd or a leader of some sort, you know, he was trying to get some lady to sleep with him, and the lady insisted that he has to come to church, you know, and that's how he got saved. You know, but some people feel that, you know, going to church is one of the easy ways of finding a beautiful girl. Well, it's a blessed compliment to all the ladies in church that church ladies are beautiful, isn't it? The most beautiful girls in the world are found in the church. They are not in a pageant. No, for sure, they are not. No. They are not in a pageant. No, most beautiful girls are in the house of the Lord. Because beauty has to be on the outside and on the inside. And actually, it starts from inside. And so, the more beautiful you look inside, it starts to affect the outside. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it starts to affect the outside. It starts to affect the packaging of the outside. Do you understand? Yeah. So when beautiful people are not people who are so overexposed and all over the place. I was reading something someone had sent to his, I think to his daughter or so. And he said to the girl that she should cover up, because anything that is precious is not lying in the street. Is it true? Yeah. Then he started listing the most precious minerals, gold, diamond. He said, even oil, you can't find it in the street. You have to dig deep. Do you understand? Yeah. So the most valuable things are covered and hidden. Treasure is hidden all the time, isn't it? Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a man who was looking for treasure, and he had to go and buy a field and sell everything just to obtain the treasure. So it's not so easy to find treasures. Do you understand? So the more precious you are, the harder it is to find you, isn't it? So if it's so easy to find you, you need to check the price. Check the value, because it looks like you're not gold, you're corn or something like that, or rice. I said, the most beautiful girls are found in the church. Amen. Amen. And of course, the most beautiful and handsome brothers are also found in the church. Amen. So anyhow you look at it, church is the best place to be. Yeah, that's where you must be. Amen. Yeah, but back to my message. Jesus didn't say, follow me and you'll find a nice girl. Isn't it? He didn't say, follow me and you'll find one of the nice guys. Follow me and you're going to make babies fast. Do you understand? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. So you need to check, you know, the degree to which you are being used by God to fish men as a standard for gauging the extent of your following. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because if you follow him, it should lead to fishing for men. Amen. It should naturally lead to being a fisher of men. And being a fisher of men means you have to go out of your way to find men. You have to go out of your way to find people. It means the effort will have to come from you, not people walking towards you, isn't it? Because fish don't go finding the fishermen, isn't it? It's the fisherman who goes hunting for fish. Hallelujah. So I pray that we all will become fishers of men. Amen. Amen. Number three from last week is that every Christian has the ministry of reconciliation, isn't it? Every Christian has a ministry of reconciliation, not just pastors. Every Christian has the responsibility of reconciling people to God. Some people feel or like to, you know, spookify the whole thing, okay? To spookify means to make spooky, right? Okay, yeah. So some people like to make the whole thing very complex, do you see? By restricting the work of reconciling people to God to people who are called to do it. Do you understand? And then that makes the whole thing so complex. And much of the church has been rendered idle because soul winning has been attached to being called. Do you see what I'm saying? That something which should have been part of Christianity and just being just a fundamental part of being Christian, you know, has been attached to a call. So it appears it's something meant for some special people. Do you understand? I mean, how would you like it, ladies, if you married a man who says, well, he's not called to provide? Huh? How about if he said he has not seen a vision to provide? Huh? It's not good? No, I don't understand why you can't accept this. The man says he has not. Pastor Charles, have you seen a vision to provide for your family? You have not seen a vision. Huh? You have not seen a vision. No angel. So are you called to provide for your family? How do you know that? Yeah. So to me, it's a similar thing. Right? That by choosing to be a husband, I mean, the title husband itself is the call.
That's right. That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So then, Christian must be the call. Christian. Yeah. I mean, I think Christian ought to mean something like related to Christ.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
if somebody is a Christian, he must have something to do with Christ. So Christian must probably mean called to do what Christ came to do. It must be the name we give to someone who has taken on the responsibilities and the role that Christ was performing. It must be the word we use to describe someone who is doing what Jesus would have done. If you hear, amen. What do you think? Yeah. So it shouldn't be attached to a call. Do you get it? You would expect, like in the case of the husband, you would expect that he would be driven just by the normal need to provide and not say that he's waiting to see a vision. Hey. I mean, ladies, I pray that God will give you a spiritual person to marry. But if he is to this extent, then now you have married a spirit. Do you get it? You expect that he'll be driven by the urgent need to pay bills, isn't it? To provide, whether he's had a call or not. Same thing. If you are a Christian who can see the urgency of the need for salvation for a world that is dying and going to hell by the thousands every day, then you would want to help. Whether you're called or not. You see, in an emergency, people are expected to do something. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. In an emergency, people are expected to do something. That is why when there's an accident, you find people, they call them good Samaritans. And they stop and they come to the car. And they try to find out if there's anyone in the burning vehicle. And they try to pull the person out. Why don't you ask the person, are you a doctor? If you were the person inside that car, burning, and someone has pulled over to help pull you out, why don't you ask the person, excuse me, do you have any CPR training? Or where's your license for helping people come out of this situation? It is because we do not see or feel the urgency that we insist on a certificate. Yeah. It's because we are totally disconnected from the reality of the urgency. That is why we think that somebody must have special training. He must go to a Bible school for a certain number of years to be trained in the art of evangelism. You do need some training to help you know how to keep people growing in the Lord. But to tell people that Jesus died for them, anyone can do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Anyone can do it. And God is expecting it from everyone. Everyone. Not some people. Not some special people. Everyone. Everyone. Jesus told the story of that good Samaritan. And that was because someone had asked him, who is my neighbor? And he said, you want to know who your neighbor is? Then he told him the story of a man who was traveling somewhere. He fell among thieves. They beat him and all that and left him by the roadside for dead. Then he said a priest came by who felt that that was not his calling. Do you see? And then he just walked past the guy. And then a Levite also came by and he said, you know, something can't touch this. And then he also just passed by. But then it says a Samaritan. Yeah. an ordinary person who, you know, was not even believed much. You know, they didn't believe the Samaritans. But one day, let me just leave that. So, Jesus said that the man who came to help, then he asked the man, okay, which of these three guys would you call his neighbor? The one who has no training, who has no specialty or anything in helping people, but he just saw a need and he just thought, I can help this. I can do something about this. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to tell you that you're going to be a far more fruitful Christian if you start thinking and moving by the need you see. Just common sense reaction and response to the need you see than to say that I'm waiting to be called. Hallelujah. But what you will find is as you go along, you will find as you just keep responding to the need, that within that you may actually even find a call. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what we're talking about is very important. It goes to the very heart of being a Christian. And I pray that God will open our eyes to see it and put a burden on our hearts to feel it and want to do something about it. Say amen. Amen. Right. Now, I'm continuing. So the next one, well, I gave you a fourth one last week. The last words of Jesus, isn't it? Right. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and he says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Then he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. And then, if they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Now, these are the signs that follow those who believe. They will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, these are things, you know, if I was to ask you, if I said to you, I want to give you a job description and you give me the job title. And I say to you, number one, the person cast out devils. He speaks with new tongues. Then he says he takes up serpents. If he drinks any deadly thing, it shall not hurt him. He lays hands on the sick and they recover. Who is this? You probably say it's a pastor. You say evangelist. Yeah. You say he's a man of God. Okay, evangelist, whatever, you know, we use the same word to describe all these people, isn't it? Just like we just call everybody doctor. It's only when we go to the hospital that we find out this one is a dermatologist, this one is an ophthalmologist, this one, no, all doctors are not exactly the same, isn't it? Right, so we use the word pastor to describe all these people, but obviously you're not saying this is a banker.
No.
Isn't it? Oh, Uber driver. Or finance analyst, right? Or what? He's definitely not a lawyer. So if you say this person is a man of God, you say his name is evangelist, pastor. Well, the Bible is showing us how this person gets to have this job. All he has to do is to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? So then it means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have this job. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are an evangelist. Everything you said this person is exactly who you are. Amen. Is it real? That is what it says. These signs shall follow who? Them that believe. Ask your neighbor, are you one of those who believe? Or for this purpose, you don't believe. For today, count me among the non-believers. Because believing today means you're taking on a serious responsibility. You're supposed to be going out there casting out devils. Hallelujah. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Wow. Now, the next one is that is a very simple one. It is the Great Commission. It is the great command or the Great Commission. It is the great command. It is the great commission. It is the great instruction. Amen. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. For what? Then the next verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go ye therefore. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore means go ye because of this. You see, the only reason why you have to start reading this verse from 18 is to understand the reason, to understand the meaning of therefore. Because this is a very popular Christian verse, which is quoted just as it stands. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Therefore means because of this, or based on this, or as a result of this, or following from this. Do you see? So then you have to understand following from what? Then it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's why I'm asking you to go therefore, isn't it? Go because of the power. Now, when we combine this with the verse we just read in Mark chapter 16, you understand why you need power to go. Because if you're going to be casting out devils, you know, yeah, if you're going to be picking up serpents, do you understand? Yeah, if you're going to be picking up serpents and all kinds of evil spirits and all kinds of occultic things, and you're going to be able to have the power to handle them, to take them, throw them away, and dismiss the darkness in people's lives and people's homes, you're going to need some power. That's why Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what is called the Great Commission. I don't know who named it the Great Commission. It's not called Great Commission in the Bible. But this is the last verse in the book of Matthew. You know, and similarly, Luke and even Mark close with similar verses. It's like God is telling us what is most important. He's giving us his final instructions. And the final instructions are usually the most important instructions, isn't it? When people are traveling or going on a journey and they're giving final instructions, they usually say only the most important things. There's a lot of things you could say, but you just limit it to the critical ones that must be obeyed. Wow. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is showing us here what must be obeyed by every Christian. All power is given unto me, you know. So what it also means is that you don't get to partake of the power if you're a Christian who is not going to teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'll show you why. Because look at it again. Look at verse 18. It says, all power is given unto me. Do you understand? That's to him. It's not to you. Do you see? He's saying the power is with him. Then he says, go and preach or go and teach. Then, towards the end of it, the next verse, he says, I am with you always. He has the power. Do you understand? If you're going to preach, then he says, I'm coming with you. Does it make sense? Yeah. If you're going to go preach, he says, I'm coming with you. I am with you always. You know, and I was actually reading this thing. I was just wondering, why does it say always? Is it somebody missed an S, or is that a way of saying all the way? I don't know which one it is. But always is good, but all the way is even better. Do you understand? Because he says, I'm with you always. Even as it looks like you're going somewhere, and he said, there's no place too far for me to come along with you. No place too far. So you don't know what you're missing. That's why you see when there are big crusades and evangelistic efforts, you see things there that you don't see at home. Yeah. You see things there that you don't see at home. When you go outside, you have encounters you don't have in the church. No, that is true. You have experiences that encourage you in a way that you are not encouraged in the church. I tell you, you can sit in the church and hear all the preaching and think you are encouraged. But it's because you don't know what else is there. Amen. Amen. It's because you don't know what you're missing. If you knew what you're missing, you would understand that just being here, you're actually being cheated. Wow. Yeah. Because the real encouragement, you want to have some kind of faith in what God can do. You go out there and watch him do it through you in another person. You will have no doubt once and for all that God is who he is and that his power is real. Yeah, you will have no doubt. If you see him do it through you. Yeah, because when you see him do it through a pastor, you kind of feel he's a pastor. He's expected. But now when you know you, especially when you know you have not been so good. When you know that you have not even prayed much. You see what I'm saying? When you know that you don't even count yourself among the most serious of Christians, you don't count yourself among the most serious of Christians. And yet, when you try to speak to someone about Christ, he just broke down and he started to cry. You get it? And you couldn't believe that. It's like a whole big man is crying in front of you. You're not sure what to do with this. You know, suddenly you realize, no, I have to be spiritual. So, no, I have to be spiritual. You get it? Then you start to pray. Lord, do something. Lord, do something. And then as you're trying to pray, the devil tells you, huh? But you, are you now praying? You say, devil, shut up. Because what is happening has overtaken you. You were not even expecting it. You will be surprised at the results. Yesterday, Brother Paul was telling me he prayed for someone when we went on outreach. The person was limping, and he prayed for the person. Suddenly, the pain in the person's leg left, and the person was walking normally. Now who are you going to pray for in the church? Even when people need someone to pray for them, Pastor Paul, they're not going to come to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of people come to church with all sorts of problems. And they just go back. They just don't see anybody here. But the guys out there. You see, anytime we've gone on outreach, the bait that has worked for me all the time is, when I tell people, we're out praying for people today.
Yeah.
Everybody wants prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they'll do anything. You say, close your eyes. They close their eyes. I mean, a total stranger has shown up on the park, has met you for the first time, you know, and he says, I want to pray for you. And he says, yeah, pray. Everybody wants prayer. It shouldn't be hard at all. If you just go out praying for people, just tell people, you know something, I'm from a church in the neighborhood, and we're out this afternoon, we're praying for people. We're just praying with people. Yeah. Just pray. One guy asked me, so when I said, I want to pray for you, and I said, I'm going to say a prayer, and you say it after me. He said, why do I have to do that? I said, because that the prayer I'm going to say is going to explain why you need to pray. Yeah. You see, because it's a sinner's prayer. You know. So I lead them in a sinner's prayer. And then I pray for God to bless them. Everybody wants God to bless them. Isn't it? It's the most powerful tool that we have. That we would ask God to bless someone.
Yeah.
And because he's with you, watch out for those prayers. You know, watch out for those prayers. He said, lo, I'm coming along. It's not like I have sent you. You go out, get some results, and come and tell me about it. No. He said, go, I am with you all way. You know, just for today, when you go home, think of it. Give it any meaning you want. But right now, just say all way, which means all the way. That means whether we're going to Pasadena, we're going to Skid Row, or we're going to Santa Monica, or where you just go. He said, nowhere is too far from me. By the way, I hope you know that God doesn't need any transport. Yeah. Yeah. You are the one that has a car problem, but God doesn't have any of those problems. By the time you get there, you will find him to be already there. Yeah. Yeah. And if you're doing the right thing, he will also ride with you there anyway. His presence will be with you because you're going. He said, I'm coming along. I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Because it's amazing. Even at Skid Row, you see, there's a part of Skid Row we used to go to. I mean, that place, the guy was telling me, he said, that's the epic center of activity in the Skid Row place. But when we go there, somehow everybody's calm. Yeah. The way the people can misbehave. When we get there, everybody just calms down. Yeah. And it is because someone has come with us. Yeah. There is an invisible police officer who maintains law and order. Yeah. You don't know. I'm telling you that if you, I mean, even when you watch, if you watch Healing Jesus Crusade and what you, fantastic miracles. Things you don't see in the service on Sunday morning. It's just not there. Not that God is not there, but it's just not there. The thing is not there. Hallelujah. The biggest manifestations of God are with those who go. And I tell you, when you've gone and you've had that experience, when you've gone and you've found out for yourself that the gospel is a working gospel, that you truly have a message that changes lives. I'm talking about lives changing. Look, there are so many people out there who are desperate to change. They want to change. That's why you must sometimes be filled with compassion and pity when you see someone doing the wrong thing. Not just with judgment. Right? On Wednesday, we're talking about mixing grace with truth. Do you get it? Yeah. Because sometimes the reason why people don't listen to you is you are too raw. Raw truth. There's no grace. You get it? Same reason why sometimes people turn down the salad. Because there's no dressing. Because, yeah. So they know it's the most nutritious part of the whole thing. But there, it's got to be eating with something. You get it? When we don't have that something, everybody passes and says no and just no. But I'm saying that the reason why you need to add grace is to understand that a lot of people are in bondage. People want to change, they just don't know how. People are in chains, people are gripped. I mean, when the devil has a chance, look, the Bible says that when demons leave a person, when a demon leaves a person, he goes around looking for a resting place. When he doesn't find one, he says, I'm going to go back to my house. Yeah, because when you stay anywhere long enough, you start calling it your house. You see, so demons start to call your body his house. Then he comes back. And the Bible says, when he comes and he finds the place habitable, clean, swept, you know, right. Then he says he goes to get seven other spirits. Look, what I'm telling you was not something Peter said or Bartholomew said or Doubting Thomas said. These fell off the lips of Jesus Christ himself. Wow. You know, you have to believe it when Jesus speaks. Yeah. You have to believe Jesus when he speaks. Only he can really explain the spirit realm to us. He said that when these demons come, you know, he says they go to find seven other spirits more wicked than himself. That means in the realm of demons, there are also grades of wickedness. Yeah. Just like you can say something is blue, but there are so many shades of it. Right? All the way, blue, 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 blue. They're all called blue. But they're evil spirits that are stronger and deeper. Yeah. And he said that the last state of that man is far worse than before. Because now the spirits are wicked. They are coming to stay there. Seven spirits are coming to live in the same person. So even if you get rid of one, it's not over. Did you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So people are bound. People can't help themselves. They can't help but shoot drugs. They can't help but drink. They can't help but chase people. They can't help but kill people. They can't help but do so many things. You just don't know what is the person thinking. You know, and the greatest deception is when the person thinks he's in charge. You see, that's where the deception, the person thinks that he's in charge of himself and that he'll stop doing what he's doing when he decides to. But he doesn't know that the bondage is in his inability to decide to. You get it? It's, you're saying that when I choose to decide to stop, when I stop, want to stop, I'll stop. But that's not where the bondage is. The bondage is in whether you will ever want to stop. You get it? You whether you will ever get to that place and say, I want to stop. Yeah. Because someone is assigned to keep you wanting to do this. So it's not you who is in charge. It's a spirit. And people need Jesus. People need someone who can overpower these powers. People need a power, a presence that is greater than the bondage. That's why Jesus started by saying, look, all power is given unto me. Yeah, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, said, get up and go, 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 go. And I am with you. I'm coming along. I'm coming along. Maybe this is one of the few proofs in the scripture, or assurances in the scripture you can have, that if you're going, he's coming with you. So anytime you feel like God is far away, go. Yeah. You know, there are days when it feels like God is far away. Yeah. When it feels like you're calling on him and he's not hearing, you know. If you have something very important to pray about, go. Then on the way, ask God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You have an interview coming up on Monday. You want God to help you at the interview. Go out on Saturday. Then while you are on outreach, you just say, Lord, I have a feeling you're here. Okay. So while you're here, right, save this person. But while you're at it, I just want to remind you, on Monday, I'm going for an interview. Yeah. So that way, when you see that person saved, it means God heard you. And if God heard that one, he must have heard the other one too. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. God gave his personal promise. He said, I'm going to come along with you. I'm with you all way. Do you get it? Yeah. Then you have to flip and say, always, also, because always, amen, is whether you feel his presence or not. He's there. You don't have to feel God. See, there are moments when you feel God more. God is like the wind or like oxygen. Do you get it? Right now here, you don't feel any wind blowing. But we still have oxygen here. But there are windy days when you feel the air a bit more than normal. Do you understand? It's not like there's more wind or more air that the volume of oxygen has increased. Heaven has been gracious to us. God has... No, it's just a wind. Something has caused it, or has caused it to be around in a way that you feel it a bit more.
That's right.
His presence is always with us. Hallelujah. You get it? And sometimes you don't feel it. But he said, you don't go by your feelings. Your feelings are the least you must trust about you. I mean, you know yourself. Many times you feel something and you find out you're wrong. Is it true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you're feeling cold and everyone is hot. Sometimes you're feeling hot, everyone is cold. Isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes you feel like something is not nice, Someone says, it's really nice. Yeah. Your feelings are not so great for judging God's presence. So don't go by how you feel. Go by what he said. Hallelujah. Go by what God says. That I am with you always. I'm always with you. Whether you feel me or not, if it goes well or not, I'm with you always. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's not stop going. Amen. Let's not stop going. Amen. Let's go to places. Go. Hallelujah. Amen. Next week, we're going to have a special outreach. We're going to call it Mile Walk Outreach. Wow. We're going to wear our t-shirts and just walk. Wow. Yeah. So we're going to have t-shirts here for everyone on Sunday. Wow. Okay, the same t-shirt. He's wearing one. Can you come and show us your t-shirt? You have more? So yes, there are some here already, yeah. Yeah. So those of you who don't have this t-shirt, because people like to read people's chests, especially when they're ladies. Yeah. Yeah. You get it. So, you see. You get it. See, he's not blessed to have. But people, I find that people like to read things on people. They'll read what is in your shirt more than listen to what you have to say. Yeah. It's because of the blessedness of the privacy of reading. And I've seen all sorts of things written in people's t-shirts. Yeah, which I also read too. Yeah. You get it? And I didn't tell them that I was reading it. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, weird things that I can't say here. Actually, I could say to you, but I don't want to say it on the internet. Do you understand? Yeah, but people have all sorts of t-shirts. They make them, you know. The other day I saw some t-shirts that said, nice legs, something, something. Yeah. Yeah. Do you see? Yeah. So, people read what is in. And if enough people wear the shirt and they go out, then people are going to read it. Because if it's big enough, it gets more attention. Isn't it? Yeah. So next Sunday, after church, we're all going to go for... Everybody's going to walk for like 30 minutes. You're going to get healthy. Healthy for free. You get it? Yeah. You're going to get healthy. You see? And remember, if the Lord is coming along, then likely every step will count for some... Maybe about 200 calories. God... If you take a step, God will just bless you with 200 calories. Off. You just never know. Hallelujah. Is it exciting? Yeah. Yes. So we're going to go down to different parts of Pasadena and we're going to walk. Everybody must walk for at least 30 minutes. Just plan for it. Just go with us. Go walk and just come back. Amen. Yeah, we'll go in groups of three or four, something like that. So it's big enough. You get it? We walk across like that. So four of us are coming. If we meet you on the sidewalk, you have to read all of this. Yeah. Yeah. Because we're not stepping aside for you. You will have to go in the road and just come by us. Hallelujah. No, this is important. Amen. That is why God, if you want God's presence to be with you, here is one place where God said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So whether end of the world means time, that's when the world will end, or end of the world means place, that's the furthest place in the world, whatever interpretation you give to it, he says that I am with you. Amen. I am with you is present continuous. It's not like I will be with you. He said, I am with you as you keep going. Amen. So you cheat yourself if you don't go. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you want to be encouraged, go. And it will bring so much encouragement. It will energize your Christian life. Do you understand? It's exciting always when we go to Skid Row, as in particular. It's really exciting. You feel energized. You feel happy that you came out. Amen. So I want to encourage all of you to be part of it. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Now look at this other verse before we go today. Mark chapter 3. And verse 14. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, and he called. Okay, let's start from verse 13. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. Right? And they came unto him. They came to him. Right? Then the next verse. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Amen.
Amen.
Can you see? He invites people to him so they would be with him. Then the next thing is that he might send them forth to preach. So if you have had an encounter with Christ that ended with being with him, then you're not having the complete encounter. The complete encounter is being with him and going forth sent by him to preach. Amen. I mean, is it clear? Do you get that from that verse? Yeah. To be with him. So when you come to church, you are in his presence, you are with him. When you have a quiet time, you are in his presence, you are with him. But after that, then he now sends you forth to preach. Hallelujah. And it doesn't have to be your profession to do it. Many of us drove here this morning, but you're not drivers. It's not your profession. You're not paid to drive. So it doesn't have to be your profession before you preach. Preaching is for everyone he called unto him. Preaching is for everyone that he called unto him. Everyone who came to Jesus Christ was sent forth to preach. Amen.
Amen.
So Mary, you are a preacher.
Wow.
Preacher is the name we give to people who preach.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like eater is the name we give to the one who ate it. And that doesn't take a profession. You get it? You don't need 3 years of training to eat.
Wow.
Isn't it? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So the one who ate the food is the eater of the food. The one who was sent to preach is the preacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, not the one who gets paid from preaching. No, 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 no. It's the one who is sent to do it. He's called the preacher.
That's right.
Yeah. Paid to do it is a different thing altogether. Do you understand? Yes. And those people are the minority.
That's right.
If you hit the road right now, those who are paid to drive are the minority.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Those who are driving because they have to are the majority. And yes, if to be paid to drive, you have to have a special license and so on and so forth. Yeah. But the majority of people, just based on the little driving they know, you know, you go to the driver's test, and then some man, if he's in a good mood, he says you pass. If he's not in a good mood, he fails you. You get it? Yeah.
We're all on the road with very dangerous people. Yeah. We're all mixed up on the road. Some people are even there for the first time. Yeah. Some are on the road and today is their first time and they're sharing the road with you. Yeah. 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 Some don't even have a license yet. They have a permit, just a permission to drive. You get it. But we're all on there. Why should we restrict preaching only to those who have a license? It is for everyone. Amen. Everyone must learn how to preach. Preach the gospel. The message we all have is the message of the gospel, telling people that Jesus died for their sins. That's the message God has given to all of us to share. God wants all of us to be involved with telling people that Jesus died for their sins. Everyone can say that. That's what we all have experienced. Hallelujah. Not all of us have experienced marriage, so not all of us can preach about marriage. Not all of us have experienced losses, so not all of us can preach about how to deal with losses. But all of us have experienced salvation. And so all of us can preach and talk to someone about salvation. You should be able to describe what you have experienced. Isn't it? Yeah, and what you have to say is valid. Because that's your experience. That's your testimony. Yeah. If you taste something and you say it's sour, it is sour. At least to you. That's what you said. That's your experience. You should share it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, the world is waiting. The world is waiting. There's so many people out there who can be so greatly helped by someone like you. If you would go and talk to someone, even with whatever little knowledge you think you have, you know, you just go and tell someone what he told us to tell them. Even to tell people that God loves you can go so far. Because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yeah. You know how you can say something to someone and it just keeps ringing in their head? Maybe a better example is where maybe you go by a shop and they're playing a song. And then when you leave the shop, your brain won't stop singing the song. Yeah, that's how it is. Sometimes you tell someone, even the person was angry, and you tell the person, Jesus loves you. And they're thinking all day, Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is going to take those words, and he's going to massage them into their spirits and just work with them and work with them until he has them in the right place. Yeah. Oh, it's so powerful. Amen. So I really want to encourage all of you to keep preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody, he made you a preacher. And you must keep preaching. Tell them you are a preacher. Whether you heard a call or not. Amen. I think we have to demystify this whole call business, isn't it? Yeah. Those who are called, they know it. Yeah. Yeah, and those who need to be called, they know it. Yeah, just leave them alone. Hallelujah. Yeah. You don't need a call to provide first aid to someone. You don't need a call. You don't need to go to medical school to provide first aid. You have to put a band-aid on someone's little wound. And they are asking for your medical school certificate. Hey! Come on. So you can help. Amen.
Yeah.
You can help, and it's going to be a blessing to many, 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 many people. Hallelujah. Well, I think it's a good place to end. And next week, we'll continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let us pray. Amen. Close your eyes, everybody, and let us pray. And I want you to pray today. Just take a few moments to have a private time with the Lord. Pray and talk to God about your own life. And especially how that you have not been such a good witness for Him. Because you have always thought of yourself as unable or incapable or not experienced or not trained to do that work of sharing the gospel with others. But today, Lord has come your way to show you that you don't need all of that. You don't need all of that. If you would just go, He has promised to come along. He has promised to come along. He will come along. When you do your part, He will also do His part. So pray and say, Lord, today I repent. I am so sorry. I realize you called me to be with you and to preach. But it seems I've only taken one part, which is to be with you, but I haven't gone forth to preach. Talk to everybody. Everybody pray and say, Lord, today, give me boldness, give me courage. Help me to overcome shyness. Help me to overcome the feeling of embarrassment, the feeling of being inadequate. The struggles with my own difficulties, my own personal struggles to live a holy life and so on. These are all elements that the enemy uses just to cripple us, intimidate us, and keep us feeling unworthy. But he's a liar. The devil is a liar. Just pray and say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be out there. I want to preach to people. Because when I come near people, it means the kingdom of God has come near them. And as long as the kingdom of God is near them, they must benefit from the kingdom of God. So Lord, please help me. Oh God, help me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna. want to be a vessel you work through, Lord. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, just open your eyes, everybody, and just let me show you something. I was not going to show you this, but I feel God wants you to see it. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Do you see? He sent them to every place where he wanted to go to. So it's as though he has sent them, but the truth is he's coming along. Do you see? Now, when you read on, it says, he said to them, verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, jump to verse 17. It says, again, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Because remember, when you go, then you start to see what you didn't see before. Do you understand? But look at his answer. He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. These guys went to preach. They went to every place where he himself would come. Now, when they came, they were trying to announce to him the fantastic testimonies because they thought he wasn't there. Do you understand? Yeah. Then he said to them, oh, you know what I saw? You know, I saw Satan falling. Wow. You get it? How did he see that? He had come along, had seen greater things. Otherwise, the devils wouldn't even be getting going out of those people if he was not there to make it happen. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I said, oh, greater, mightier things happened than what you actually saw. You know, there were greater things happening than what you saw because his presence was there. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Hallelujah. I give you power. I give you power over serpents and scorpions and devils and demons and occultic practices and charms and amulets and all sorts of things that harbor demons and evil spirits, all kinds of expressions of devils. If you go, he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes people look scary. But if you remember that God said, I'll be with you, you see that somehow even the most scary people, they seem to calm down in the face of the power of God. That's the sort of thing you're going to start seeing in your life as you go forth. You're going to see and hear stories, and you're going to have testimonies. You won't even believe what people tell you about your effect on their lives if only you would go. Hallelujah. Lift up your hand to the Lord, everybody, and just pray and say, Lord, send me. Here I am. Send me. I want to go. I want to go out there. I want to do what I can for you. I want to preach to who I can preach to. I want to reach to who I can reach. I want to reach out to anyone, oh God, that you send my way in the name of Jesus. Just pray, everybody, just lift up your hands and say, Lord, choose me. Choose me, please. Give me a chance. Choose me, oh God, oh God. Let me be one of those people that you use. Let me be an agent of salvation.
an agent of righteousness. Let me be one that turns someone around, one that is used by God to help someone come to know the Lord. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God just to help someone come to know the Lord in the name of Jesus. Oh God, help me, oh God. Choose me, Lord. Choose me, Lord. Choose me, Lord. Oh, yes. Want to give it all to you. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like you. Sing it, everybody. Jesus, I want to be more like you. Jesus, I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. Oh, I want to be a vessel you work through. Now, as we close the service today, and while every eye is closed, please, I just want to give you an opportunity this afternoon to come to Jesus, to become a child of God. Yes, we are all created by God, but I'm talking about a special relationship with God. I'm talking about a relationship where He becomes more than your creator, where He becomes your father because you become His child. I'm talking about a relationship that allows God to remove the things that separate us from Him. Our sins and the things we can't help but continue to do. And for His blood to wash away our sins, because none of us on our own can meet God's standards. God has to wash us. God has to clean us up. God has to step in and God has to help us. So I want to give you that opportunity today. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Or on the other hand, maybe you have done this before. You've given your life to Jesus before, but you have fallen away. And you know in your heart that you have not been serious. You have not pursued that relationship. You've not been serious with it. Today is an opportunity to return to God. So if any of these two categories fits you, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. God brought you here for that purpose. And I want to pray with you. So while every eye is closed, just lift up your right hand. If you're watching on the internet, I want you to join us also. Just right where you are, you can just raise up your right hand. Just identify with us and just to say, I am giving my life to Jesus today. And together we are going to say this prayer. Just lift up your right hand. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone here like that? Okay. Why don't we just say this prayer together? Everyone, let's say this prayer together. If you're on the internet, join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I believe in my heart that only you can save me from my sins. So Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to live like a child of God. I want to feel your presence around me. So come into my heart.
Make me a child of God. Help me to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Say, devil, you are not my master anymore. You will not control me anymore. You have no part in me. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus fills my heart. Jesus is my master. I'll live for Jesus from today. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, while you're standing, we want to have communion. We want to come before the Lord's table. And our lives have just begun. In the Spirit we are young, and we'll live forever. The love of God, hear His holy word, gather. Eat His body, drink, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Tear His holy word, gather round the table. Eat His body, drink, and we'll sing a song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shout together to the Lord, who has promised our happiness chapter 11 and verse 26. The Bible says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Hallelujah. It says you show the Lord's death. That means you demonstrate, you reenact the Lord's death until He come. Every time you have communion, you're just showing again the crucifixion, the dying of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's so significant in verse 27. It says, wherefore, that means because of this, because of what it is, right? He says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, you know, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Right? So every communion experience is made up of two groups of people. You have those who despise it, who then join those who are guilty of shedding that blood. Wow. Then you have those who respect it and who recognize what it is. He says, because of this, verse 28, he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh and eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning or not recognizing or not acknowledging or understanding the Lord's body. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 30, he said, for this reason, this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means many die. Hallelujah. Can you give us another translation of that verse 30 only? Right? It says, for this cause, or for this reason. That means for not giving it the respect it deserves, for not recognizing what it really is. It says, that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. It's a serious thing. Can you see that? He said, that is why. Verse 29. If you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Then he said, this is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Do you get it? Yeah. And it makes sense, because the same thing that brings health is also the same thing that kills, isn't it? When you abuse drugs, it kills you. Even painkillers. Painkillers that are supposed to take away the pain will kill you when you abuse it. Do you get it? Antibiotics that are supposed to kill all kinds of bacteria and help you through your infections, it will kill you if you just eat it like you some bottle of chips or something, peanuts, and you're just chewing them. You get it? Because you're abusing it, recognizing it. But if you respect it for what it is, and the respect is shown in how you take it, says take two tablets, you just take two. You don't say, I'm hungry, let me add four. Do you see what I'm saying? That is dishonoring the medicine, and that will kill you. Hallelujah. Today, as we come to the Lord's table, let's give honor and respect to what it is, because this is something to change your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If it can make people sick, then it can make people well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If it can make people die, then it can make people live. Amen. Yeah, it can make people live. It can terminate illness. It can cut off disease. It can break habits. It can deliver us from life-destroying habits, because it has that power. Hallelujah. If the body of Jesus Christ, if the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away sins, then it is very spiritual. If it can translate someone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, then it's very spiritual. It's very potent. It's very powerful. And today, I want you to take communion as an encounter with power. Hallelujah. I don't know what you need power for in your life, but many of us today here need power. We need to engage the power of God. You need something greater than you to help you, to assist you in some area of your life. I want you to respect this and use it as a way to engage the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. I want you to pray. Just pray right now. I don't know what area in your life you need power for. You need power maybe to help you break a habit, help you end a relationship, help you move out of a certain situation, help you overcome certain difficulties, temptations, sins in your life. You need power. See that this is the power. The power is in your hands, and God is about to visit your life with this power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we raise up the bread and we raise up the blood before you in the name of Jesus. And we ask, oh God, that the power in the blood that was shed, the power in the body that was broken for us, will begin to descend upon every life today in the name of Jesus. Power that destroys all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Every demonic activity that is going on in our lives right now, we cut it off in the name of Jesus. Every assembly of wicked spirits, evil spirits, devils that have assembled together to destroy the good things in our lives, in the name of Jesus, we speak against them. We point the blood of Jesus towards them. In the name of Jesus, we ask that the blood of Jesus will answer every claim to our lives. Every claim to anything good in our lives. In the name of Jesus, including claims to our health, including claims to our favors and our opportunities. In the name of Jesus, let every such claim be answered. In Jesus' name, let diseases that are yet to be diagnosed be terminated before they are even named. In the name of Jesus, before they are even identified, let them be cut off, Lord. Let them die at their roots. In the name of Jesus Christ, let people that rise against us to destroy us, let people that are set against us, people that have risen up against God's people, let them fall and perish in the name of Jesus. Contend with those who contend with us and fight against those who fight against us. In the name of Jesus, let this be medicine to our bodies. Let it be medicine to our spirits. Let it be medicine to our minds. In the name of Jesus, let everyone whose peace is disrupted, oh God, let that peace be restored in the name of Jesus. Let our sanity be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the power of God visit our bodies and visit our lives in the name of Jesus to restore peace and to restore sanity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the blood, and thank you for the body, in Jesus' name. Now take the bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat it. Take the wine and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, the blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. You promised that if you see the blood as a mark on our lives, you will pass over. The angel of death will pass over. We shall live and not die. We shall live and not die. We shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Thank you for the purpose for living, giving us a reason to live in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence here. Right now, I pray for every sick person. If you're sick in your body, I just want you to reach out, touch where the sickness is if you can. And if you can't, just place your hand on your chest. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the power that takes away sicknesses. You said that these signs shall follow them that believe. You said, in my name they will cast out devils and they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Lord, today there are many sick people here, and today there are many hands of believers, and we lay hands on ourselves in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that your power will go through our bodies right now. Let the power of God go through everybody right now in the name of Jesus. Let the power of God come face to face with every sickness that has represented itself in your body in the name of Jesus. We address every sickness, every pain in our bodies, every abnormality in our bodies, every deformity in our bodies, in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, everything that is not like it should be, in the name of Jesus. Let blood pressure be corrected. Let blood sugar levels be corrected. In the name of Jesus. Let heart disease be cured. In the name of Jesus. Let clogged arteries be opened, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let the power of God flow through us in the name of Jesus. Let addictions be cut off in the name of Jesus. Let the evil spirits assigned to keep us imprisoned, to keep us in bondage, let those spirits leave in the name of Jesus. We address them, we expel them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let every evil spirit depart from the lives of your people. Every spirit that is alien to a good Christian life, let that spirit be departed, Lord, be removed in the name of Jesus. And thank you for your healing. Healing is the bread of the children, and we thank you. We receive and partake of our portion today in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. And exchange it something for a crown. Hallelujah.